This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's Ascensus.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/marketplace, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/marketplace now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/marketplace.
Language matters, people. Language matters. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Monday, today the 25th of September. Good as always to have you along, everybody. A vocabulary story is where we start the week. Wordsmithing with very real economic effects on the line. The government shutdown countdown clocks are going. Republicans in the House are still betwixt and between. We, though, will leave the parsing of the political moment to others and use this opportunity to talk about what is almost certainly going to happen. Because given how many times we have been down this road, we all know that shutdown isn't exactly the right word. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams spent her day asking around to find a better way to describe things.
The official term for what will happen this weekend if Congress doesn't pass some funding bills is a lapse in appropriations. But we call it a government shutdown, even though
the government in many ways does not actually shut down.
Matthew Lacombe teaches political science at Case Western Reserve University. He points out things like Medicare and Social Security and the military continue operating, so
maybe a brownout would be a better descriptor. The power is not totally off. It's just scaled down and operating dysfunctionally.
And which parts get scaled down depend on lots of different factors.
So there are some government programs that, even though they are generally funded through annual appropriations, they do have some spending authority that goes beyond those appropriations.
Romina Baccia is with the Cato Institute. For example, she says SNAP food benefits have the funding to continue through October, although WIC, a benefit for mothers and children, could face cuts immediately. And some programs are funded by their own fees, like certain visa programs. Baccia says we could call this a partial government slowdown, or
if I had to pick a politically neutral term, I would say it is a funding lapse that affects government operations. So a partial government funding lapse.
That doesn't really roll off the tongue either. Donna Hoffman teaches political science at the University of Northern Iowa and says it might be more accurate to call it a disruption rather than a shutdown. But whatever we call it, says Hoffman,
as long as people understand what it means, it's representing a failure of one chamber of the Congress from doing one of its fundamental duties, which is appropriating funds in the Treasury.
And failing on a pretty regular basis. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
On Wall Street today, lapse in appropriations? What lapse in appropriations? We'll have the details when we do the numbers. Though details are, as of yet, sketchy, there is a tentative deal in the Hollywood writers' strike that leaves actors on the picket lines and elsewhere in organized labor, auto workers who are now on day 10 of their strike against GM, Ford, and Stellantis. This is, though, a different kind of UAW strike, both in how the union is deciding where to walk out and how it is handling the big three. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more now on the UAW's strike strategy.
In its first round of walkouts, the UAW targeted three vehicle assembly plants. But car companies have decent inventories right now, so consumers might not feel that yet. With car parts, it's a different story, says Kate Bronfenbrenner, director of labor education research at Cornell.
And, you know, people don't have their cars. They can't go to work. They can't take their kids to daycare.
So a disruption to car repairs could put the strike in front of the public. And a Reuters Ipsos poll found so far that 58% of Americans support the union.
This is going to put pressure on the company to settle a decent agreement.
It could also ramp up pressure from dealerships, which make a lot of money doing repairs, says Sam Fiorani, vice president at Auto Forecast Solutions.
Bringing the dealers into this fight is getting a louder voice against the vehicle manufacturers.
The union has only so much money to pay striking workers, but distribution centers have fewer employees, says Rebecca Given, a labor studies professor at Rutgers.
They can have a big impact on parts distribution with a relatively small number of workers on strike who will need strike pay.
The union also only expanded strikes to GM and Stellantis because it made some progress with Ford. In a statement, Ford said there are still, quote, significant gaps to close. But choosing the other two is the union's tactic, Given says.
They're saying that, yes, you are competing against each other, and whichever one of you reaches an agreement first will be back to full production first.
And the UAW still has cards left to play. It hasn't yet stopped work on some of the most popular cars and trucks made by the big three. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Fall is officially here, which means, among other things, and for some reason, pumpkin spice lattes, about which an interview coming up in the next couple of days. But also, it's just about harvest time, so we figured this is an opportune moment to talk agriculture, so we've gotten Patrick Smith back on the phone. Apples and hops is what he works on the family ranch up in the Yakima Valley in Washington State. Patrick, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, Kai.
First of all, and as always, how are things in Yakima? How's business?
Things are busy this time of year. We're kind of right in the middle of our harvest season overall, wrapping up hop harvest here in about a week, with apple harvest continuing for about the next 4 to 6 weeks. So busy time of year, but going well.
I bet, and I'm grateful for you for taking the time. Crops are looking, what, good-ish?
Yeah, overall, I'd say that the apple crop statewide is looking quite good. The hops crop here is mixed, probably with some of the earlier varieties coming in a little below average, and the kind of middle and later maturing varieties are looking to average to maybe like slightly above average. Mm. But quality on all fronts has been really good.
And then the last thing that was on my list, and then I got to, you know, we'll see what's on your mind. But I saw a piece in the New York Times the other day, and this is the reason we got you on the phone, about hop growers, hops, I guess, in plural, hops growers in Europe dealing with climate change. And I figure climate is a global thing, and I wonder how that's affecting you.
Yeah, it certainly is affecting us. You know, like we're seeing all over the globe, is a little bit less predictability and a little bit more extremes. And, you know, I think that really influenced some of the things that we saw in the crop this year, with some of the maturity being, you know, a bit abnormal. And but it's one of those things that we have very limited ability to do much about as a single person or a single company, right?
The thing that gets me, though, Patrick, is you are what now, the fourth generation of your family to work this land?
That's correct. Yep, fourth generation.
okay, and you've got kids and they're going to have kids. And if you're going to be able to keep on doing this through the family, climate change is like an existential threat.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. You know, I think technology is a possible way that we can mitigate some of the issues, but it's certainly not a silver bullet that's going to fix everything. Yeah. And so, you know, we're doing what we can and trying to be more efficient and address what we can address. And
do you
keep our fingers crossed, I guess, to some degree.
Yeah, I guess, right. I guess that's kind of what we all have to do as we work to mitigate this. Do you or your siblings have any takers in the fifth generation of the Smith family to work the land, as it were?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. My son is 7 and he has spent the last couple of weekends during harvest, actually staying the night with my parents and getting up at 5:30 in the morning to come over and see the night shift switch to day shift, with my dad, his grandfather, because he loves being on the farm and wants to be around. And so he doesn't have to go to school on Saturday morning, he wants to be in the mix at harvest with the rest of us. So it's pretty fun.
That's cool. That's cool. Patrick Smith and his family worked the land up at up in Yakima, Washington. Loftus Ranches is the ranch. Hey, how's the brewery, by the way? Bailbreaker Brewing Company is, let's get the plug in there, right? How's the brewery doing?
Yeah, things are great. This is a really exciting time of year for us at the brewery. Here in Yakima, we get visitors from literally all over the world during hop harvest. This is also the time of year where we make fresh hop beers. And so it's a really special time of year for us around here and pretty exciting. So,
Are they buyers of your hops or are they just coming to see what's going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yak Valley is the world's, you know, largest hop growing region. And so we've got customers coming from all over the world looking at harvest, evaluating the harvest and selecting the hops that they will use in their beers for the coming year.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Patrick Smith up in, as he says, the Yak Valley. Patrick, thanks a lot. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Kai. Thanks a lot.
I'm also going to send you a note with a new credit card number and a beer order, if that's all right with you.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All
we
right.
can do that.
Excellent. Excellent. Good, good, all good. Right. Talk to you soon. And my best to your dad. He's a good guy. I'm glad he's out there with your son. That's cool. Coming up,
I recommend that people not be the conversational Debbie Downer.
I mean, solid advice, right? First, though, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrial is up 43 points on this Monday, a 10th percent, finished at 34,006. The NASDAQ gained 59 points, about 0.4%, 13,271. S&P 500 up 17, 0.4%, 43,037. Regardless of what kind of weather you are seeing in your part of the world, the calendar does tell us, as I said, that fall has arrived. So some stocks with autumnal themes, shall we? Some folks are looking forward to apple picking this time of year. Hello, Patrick Smith. Apple's stock is up 0.7%. There's also a chill in the air in many places. Americold Realty Trust dropped 1%. Libby's canned pumpkin, which is owned by Nestle, making its way into a lot of recipes this time of year. Nestle stock increased 0.2% on Swiss exchanges today. Lastly, Starbucks, I can't. Subtracted 1% just because. You're listening to Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's Ascensus.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling shipping supplies or promoting productivity programs, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/marketplace, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/marketplace now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/marketplace. Looking for the highest interest rate on your cash? At public.com, you can earn 5.1% APY with a high yield cash account. And while we can't say it's officially the highest interest rate out there, we can say this. It's a higher rate than Robinhood, a higher rate than SoFi, a higher rate than Marcus, a higher rate than Wealthfront, frankly, a higher rate than Capital One, a higher rate than Ally, a higher rate than Barclays, a way higher rate than Bank of America and Chase, a higher rate than Citi, Wells Fargo, Discover, and it's a higher rate than American Express, too. So if you want to start earning 5.1% APY on your cash, check out public.com. We can't say it's the highest interest rate, but it's pretty darn up there. This is paid for by Public Investing, 5.1% APY as of March 26, 2024, and is subject to change. A high-yield cash account is a secondary brokerage account with Public Investing, member FINRA/SIPC. Funds from this account are automatically deposited into partner banks where they earn a variable interest and are eligible for FDIC insurance. Neither Public Investing nor any of its affiliates is a bank. U.S. only. Learn more at public.com/disclosure/high-yield-account.
This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There are more than 2 million domestic workers in this economy. That's nannies and house cleaners, home care workers, people who've long been left out of basic labor protections. Some cities are trying to change that, but progress has been slow. In Chicago, there's an ordinance that requires employers provide written contracts for domestic workers in their preferred language. But as Esther Yunji Kang reports now from WBEZ, more than a year and a half after that law went into effect, it is largely ignored or unknown.
On a busy street in Elmwood Park, a suburb just outside of Chicago, Magdalena Mrovca drags her heavy vacuum and loads it into the trunk of her car.
All right, thank goodness I got a big car. And that's the cleaning supplies. So I'll be all set for my job.
Mrovca has been cleaning homes for a living since the 1990s, and as of January 2022, she's entitled to a written contract from the people she works for about her wage and schedule. That contract might also include things like who brings supplies or even the scope of work. For example, if a nanny is hired for childcare, can they also be asked to do the laundry? The idea is to protect workers from wage theft and from being taken advantage of by their bosses. But last year, when Mrovca brought this up to someone she'd been cleaning for years, it did not go as she'd hoped.
Basically, I said that there is a requirement in Chicago that we should have a contract agreement to protect both sides. And they didn't say anything, but in a few days, they just let me go.
Mrovca says the family told her their college-age daughter was home and would take over cleaning duties. A coincidence, maybe, but she'd been working there for so long, she thinks she was let go because of her request. After that, Mrovca did not ask any of her other Chicago clients for a contract.
It's just not worth it to me. If I presented approaching people for contract and I lose the job, we will not have money to support ourselves. This is constant headache and stress. Unnecessary.
A workers' rights group called Arise Chicago has hundreds of members who do domestic work in the city. But the group says very few have been able to secure written contracts. A big part of that problem is a lack of awareness about the law and the $500 to $1,000 fine that comes along with noncompliance. Anya Jakubek is an organizer with the group.
People just don't know about it, that this is mandated. There needs to be more education and outreach.
But once they learn about the law, some employers just don't think it's necessary.
They're very nice people often. They just don't feel the need.
Employers are subject to similar laws on the books in San Francisco and Philadelphia. Ai-Jen Poo is president of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. She says workers in this field face one core challenge.
The really severe power imbalance that exists when you have a workplace where you have one worker and a culture of work that is informal. When we refer to domestic work, we often call it help, as opposed to the legitimate profession that it is for literally millions of workers.
Millions of workers who are essential to their employers. The busy professionals who bring in house cleaners, the parents who need a nanny, or households that hire someone to care for sick or aging family.
I wish more employers would see having a contract as an opportunity to strengthen the relationship they have with this person who is coming into their home, oftentimes caring for the most important parts of their lives.
She says contracts are not a silver bullet, but they provide one more tool for vital members of the labor force who are often overlooked. In Chicago, I'm Esther Yunji Kang for Marketplace.
All right, here's a story about unintended consequences, or better, actually, unanticipated consequences. For years, Lego has been trying to figure out how to make its ubiquitous plastic building blocks out of something sustainable, which is to say not oil-based plastics. It has experimented with all kinds of things, Brazilian sugarcane, recycled plastic bottles. The company said today it's abandoning an experiment making its bricks out of recycled PET, which is the plastic that's in a lot of our bottles and our food containers. Why? Well, Lego says using recycled materials didn't actually cut its carbon emissions. As Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports, both the carbon budget and the budget come into play when companies consider whether to use recycled plastics.
I peeked into my recycling bin earlier today. There was a plastic tomato container, which definitely belonged in there, but with the film still attached, that part probably didn't. And
it looks like my husband put the broken turkey thermometer in there. So like it's a meat thermometer. And it looks like he stuck that in the recycling bin. That's optimistic.
It takes energy to sort through all of that stuff, to find the usable plastic, then to move it where it's needed, and then to actually recycle it. Rachel Meidel is a fellow of energy and environment at Rice University's Baker Institute.
There's different types of recycling platforms for recycled polymers, and each one of those platforms and recycling technologies have different energy costs.
There are financial costs to all of this, too, which makes recycled plastics much more expensive than the brand new kind. Judith Enck is president of the nonprofit Beyond Plastics and a former regional administrator with the EPA. She points out that most virgin plastic is derived from either petroleum or ethane, which is a byproduct of fracking.
If you're a company looking at your financial bottom line, you are drawn to virgin plastics, and they are cheap because the world has a glut of fracked gas.
Right now, we're not doing a very good job of reusing plastic. A report from Beyond Plastics finds that in the U.S., only about 5 to 6% of plastic waste is actually recycled. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
This whole return to office thing might actually be happening. Amazon and TikTok, a bunch of big Wall Street banks, some newspapers, even, hello irony, Zoom, have been taking a harder line on requiring people be in the office at least some of the time. And it does look like it's working. Average office occupancy rates in the 10 biggest cities in this economy has jumped back above 50% this month. That's according to a company called Castle Systems, which tracks keycard swipes. But after more than 3 years of being remote, swiping those keycards might be the easiest part of this, because being in person can be an adjustment. And therein lies a business opportunity, as Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
Office culture
can be pretty weird. There are the clashing personalities, the often unwritten rules about how to dress, which lunch foods are too aromatic, or how much of your personal life to share.
I recommend that people not be the conversational Debbie Downer.
Thomas Farley is an etiquette coach, also known as Mr. Manners, and he's in high demand these days. He gives speeches and workshops around the country at employers from J.P. Morgan and Disney to the U.S. Army. Today, he's giving me a little refresher course on the art of office conversation.
Most people, when I ask them, what are your go-tos with small talk? It's the weather. It's sometimes, and I don't recommend it, it's politics. It's sports, which can be a winner or not.
Instead, Farley recommends preparing some work-appropriate conversation starters that are quirky or uplifting.
Why don't you check out the National Day calendar?
Okay, we got, oh, National Cheese Toast Day.
There you go. All right, that's a good one.
He also has exercises to work on eye contact by breaking the group into pairs.
And I give them 2 minutes to maintain eye contact with the person standing opposite them, which they must do without saying a word.
Fortunately, since I'm remote, I'm exempt from this one, 'cause awkward.
It pushes people out of their comfort zone because it's something that we just simply don't do.
Especially when your comfort zone and workplace has been your own home, where you can wear sweatpants alone and microwave all the leftover curry you want. A lot of workers have never known anything else.
Think about all the college kids who started college remote, and then they got their first job remote. Well, how are they supposed to understand work life?
Stacey Haller is chief career advisor at Resume Builder, which recently surveyed about 1,500 business leaders and found about half of companies are now providing office etiquette training, and more are planning to require it next year. Haller says big business consultancies like Deloitte and KPMG are doing it for their employees, and the top priority is teaching conversation skills.
Number 2 was dressing professionally. And number 3 was writing professional emails. You know, it's like getting everybody on the same page.
Now, the 2-minute eye contact challenge, or having to click through yet another stock footage-filled training video, may not sound like a good time. But getting everyone on the same page could be clarifying at a time when workplace norms are kind of all over the place.
That would actually really be helpful because, I don't know,
Montoya Thomas is a recent college grad in Houston who's currently interviewing for in-person jobs in cybersecurity. She knows she should dress to impress, but she doesn't want to overdo it because it is kind of the tech industry.
I did like business casual, so I don't know if that would be okay in the office or would I have to like fully dress up.
Thomas grew up in the foster system. She's worked in restaurants and bars, but never in office. And she completed college and technical training almost entirely online.
And then you go outside, like, whoa, like, what do I say? And did I say the right thing? And now you're overthinking, like, the conversation and everything.
Thomas says getting explicit answers from an employer would be a big relief, even if it is kind of awkward. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
This final note on the way out today, saw this on Bloomberg, a statement from Moody's, the credit rating agency, more to the point, the only one of the major agencies keeping the United States at its top credit rating. I'm just going to read the statement to you. Talking about a government shutdown, Moody's says, while debt service payments would not be impacted and a short-lived shutdown would be unlikely to disrupt the economy, it would underscore the weakness of U.S. institutional and governance strength relative to other AAA-rated sovereigns. All right, we got to go. Here, though, your moment of economic context, which is cool, but also creepy. Spotify said today it's going to roll out a new artificial intelligence-powered feature that can translate podcasts into different languages using the host's own voice. Cool, but creepy. Our daily production team includes Andy Corbin, Richard Cunningham, Maria Hollenhorst, Sarah Leeson, Sean McHenry, and Sophia Terenzio. I'm Kai Rizdal. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now. Thank you.